Turn with me again to the book of Revelation this morning, chapter 20. Before I begin with a message, I'm going to share a little story, which in essence, I think demonstrates something very important. Often, we simply ignore warnings. When I was a kid at home, we had the old wood stove and we had a cut wood, you know, with the old buck saw, and then chop wood. And I know that my younger brother wasn't always very attentive to some of the maybe things that I would say to him. And so I warned him. I said, get out of my way. I'm going to chop you in the head because I'm chopping wood. Like, get out of my way. Well, he ignored it, and about 30 seconds later, whack, I hit him in the head and split his head open with an axe. Like, why didn't you take my warning? In those days, of course, guess what? No 911 calls, no doctor visit. No, mom took care of it. It was simple. You know what? You just do what you got to do, and he's fine today. Thank God for that. My goodness. But he ignored the warning. Here's the thing. We often ignore. I think we've come to a place where churches, where the Christian church has largely ignored some of the teaching of God's word that's important. And it's easy for us to explain it away, but we need to take serious the warnings in God's word, the teachings in God's word. Judgment is coming. And many times, we talk to people and we don't take that serious anymore. Actually, that's a problem, because God will be true to his word. Let's read Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 to 15. It's about the great white throne judgment. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Wow. The great white throne judgment is the final scene before the new heaven and the new earth are introduced. And it is, if we do a careful study, exceedingly clear that this judgment here is not the general judgment at the end of the world, as many people have supposed. It is not the general judgment. Rather, it is the judgment of all the wicked, all the unbelievers, and only unbelievers. All the wicked during that, you know, that ever lived and that were even during the reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ, they had been left in the realm of the dead called Hades. And of course, there's a time when they're resurrected and the great white throne judgment takes place. So the condemnation is for all, and I simply want to stress that. The condemnation at this judgment is for all who have rejected the Lord Jesus and his offer of salvation during their lifetime here on earth. Jesus paid the price with his blood on the cross of Calvary, and he absorbed the wrath of God. He was the absorbing, or the sacrificial lamb that absorbed God's wrath, satisfying Yahweh, the living God, the self-existent God, and satisfying his holiness and his justice. And if he is rejected, if this gift of salvation in Jesus is rejected, that person must finally face the penalty of sin themselves. We can't ignore that. The Bible clearly validates the existence of hell. In fact, Jesus spoke more about hell than anyone else in scriptures. But hell is not the final destiny of the damned or the unbeliever. The lake of fire is. And we'll get to that in a little while here. So worse than hell is being judged at the great white throne judgment, cast alive into the lake of fire to suffer eternally. So why is this called the Great White Throne Judgment? Why is it called that? It is great because of the rank and the dignity of the judge. That's why it's great, because of the rank and the dignity of the judge. There is no one greater than Jesus who will be judging. It is also great because of the size and the extent of the judgment. It will engulf all the wicked, the vast number of people throughout the world history who will be judged. And the reality is that it will seal their eternal destiny, the eternal destiny of the unbeliever. It is white because it displays and emphasizes the infinite purity and righteousness of Christ, who is the holy judge. That's why it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And it is a throne because Jesus Christ sits in his sovereign majesty, using his authority to consign the wicked to eternal damnation. So the person who judges, who is this person? From Scripture, let's find out. We know from other scriptures that the occupant of the throne will be no other than the Lord Jesus himself. There's no question who's going to be on that throne. Let me read a couple of verses. John 5, 22 and 23. The Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And we look at John 5, 27. He, the Father, has given him, Jesus, authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. He will be the judge at the second coming, according to Matthew 25, 31 and 33. And he will also be the judge at the great white throne judgment. Now remember, that's at least 1,000 years in between the two. The second coming, after the 7-year tribulation, then the 1,000 literal years of reign here on earth, Christ will reign, and then the great white throne judgment. And Matthew 25 bears that out very clearly. Then there's other passages like Acts 10, 42. He, Jesus, is the one whom God has appointed to judge the living and the dead. Acts 17, 31. For he, God the Father, has set a day when he, God the Father, will judge the world with justice. How? By the one man, Jesus. And so that's pretty clear that he has appointed, he the Father has appointed Jesus to be the judge. And there's other passages just to make sure that we know who is this person on the throne. It is none other than Jesus. It is the one who hung on Calvary's cross. He will be the judge of the wicked living and the wicked dead at the end of the millennial reign. And where will this place of judgment be? Well, it's interesting that verse 11 tells us, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled away from his presence, and there was no place for them." Now, while God's word is not specific on where the great white throne judgment will take place or where it will be, we know where it will not be. It doesn't tell us where it will be, but it tells us where it will not be, okay? It will not be in heaven, and it will not be in earth. On earth. Why? Because heaven and earth fled from his presence. We know it can't be there. So it cannot be on earth, because at the appearance of the Lord, the earth and the heavens fled away from his presence. It can't be in heaven. Why not? Not in the presence, in the abode of God, because no sinner can enter there. So it can't be there either. So where will it be? Well, we don't know for sure, but this does, when it says heaven and earth fled from his presence, does not mean that the heavens and the earth will be destroyed into nothingness at that time. That's not what it means, as some think it does, or that the heaven and the earth will go out of existence. It simply means they had no place in the final judgment. And we know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, but they had no place in the final judgment. So the great white throne judgment takes place somewhere between heaven and earth, It will be somewhere in space, which we don't know. No planets in our solar system, the way we know it today, will qualify. It will flee from his presence. So it must take place somewhere beyond our universe. And we don't know where that will be. But we know it won't be in heaven and it won't be in earth. That we know from Scripture. Thirdly, the people judged. Jesus said, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. So the people judged are the dead, okay? Now, believers are referred to not as the dead, but the dead in Christ. When a believer dies physically, he is the dead in Christ. Still in Christ, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, but the unsaved are referred to as the dead. So we know at the great white throne judgment, the ones that will be judged are the dead, meaning unbelievers. There will be no believers there. It is only for unbelievers. So the Bible mentions at least three deaths. Spiritual death, those who are unsaved and spiritually separated from their relationship with God. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3 clearly bear that out. They are separated from the living God, from their source of life that comes from God alone. Spiritual death. Then secondly, the Bible talks about physical death, referring to the death of the body, which we now live in. Hebrews 9, 27 talks about that. People are destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. That's talking about the death of the physical body. And so at the time of physical death, spirit and soul depart from the physical body. Spirit and soul depart from the physical body. The Bible says in Genesis 3:19, dust you are, and to dust you will return. That's physical death. Then the Bible talks about the second death, referring to the unsaved, the wicked lost, who will be resurrected to be judged at the great white throne and whose destiny will be eternal punishment in the lake of fire, verse 14. So all unsaved, great and small in this life must face judgment. A person's age, position, prestige, whatever it is, popularity, power, wealth, poverty, will make no difference. All unbelievers will be there at the great white throne judgment. And the words great and small are found, in fact, five times in the book of Revelation. Revelation 11, 18, 13, 16, 19, 5, and 18, and chapter 20, verse 12. And this term simply indicates that there will be all classes of people from every rank in the world will be present there. They will be unbelievers from all ranks of people. Now, sometimes it's hard to grasp or to fathom this, but there will be many. There will be many from what? From diverse multitude of religions. There will be many that have been extremely religious will stand before the great white throne judgment. Miracle workers will stand before the great white throne judgment. Why? Because they never trusted Jesus. There will be lay people, philanthropists, and preachers. There will be preachers there who have never trusted Jesus. False preachers, those who believe that God exists but never trusted in his means of salvation will be there. And those who don't believe in that God exists at all will also be there. They will all be there. The moral and the immoral will be there. And those who trusted in their good works for their salvation will be there. There's people who spend their life doing good works and they do much good deeds. But they will be at the great white throne judgment if they have never trusted Jesus. It doesn't matter how much money you sent away. It doesn't matter how many good deeds, you know, even care packages you sent out, or how many blankets you've sewn for the poor. If you have never trusted Jesus, you will be there. Because it's for the unbelievers. Wow. I'm not saying we shouldn't do good deeds, but that is not going to keep us from the great white throne judgment. And so there will be many that will spend much energy and money and means, and yet they will be there. Those who say that they have prophesied in Jesus' name. Wow. They will be. They say, we've cast out demons in the name of Jesus. We've done wonders in the name of Jesus. But Christ will declare to them and say, what? Matthew 7, 22 and 23. I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doer. It's not enough to say we did it in Jesus' name. If we've never trusted Jesus and God's means of salvation, or one mean of salvation, then they will be at the great white throne judgment. So all these deeds of the evil ones, evil people, will be recorded in the books. Religious and cultural standing will mean nothing at the great white throne judgment. The banker or the beggar, the prince or the pauper, the honest farmer or the criminal, the mechanic, the housewife, the bricklayer, none of that will mean anything. Nothing. If we haven't trusted Jesus. So all of the lost of all ages who preferred and chose to live in their sins rather than receive his salvation will be there. All who procrastinated until the time of mercy was closed for them. There's people today that think, I've got lots of time. No, you don't have lots of time. Today is the day of salvation. We don't have lots of time. We don't know how much time we have. People that have procrastinated will be there. And all who despised the grace of God and the self and in their own self-will, they chose what? They chose exactly what the Bible tells us, Proverbs 14, 12 and 16, 25. They chose the way that appears right to man. But the end leads to death. They will be there. And all who showed contempt for what? For the riches of the goodness or the riches of God's kindness. And all who have never responded to God's kindness, which God intended that his kindness would lead them to repentance, Romans 2, 4. They will be there. All who, because of their stubbornness and unrepentant hearts, stored up wrath against themselves for the day of judgment, Romans 2, 5. They will be there. Why? Because they didn't trust Jesus. At the great white throne judgment, Jesus will deal with all stored up wrath against the unbeliever. There will be nothing missed. They will stand before the throne in masses. Millions will be there, but they will be judged on an individual basis. On an individual basis. Well, the unbeliever will stand alone before Almighty God for his or her judgment. They all have one thing in common. And what is it? They've never trusted Christ and the finished work of the cross for their salvation. They will all stand before the great white throne separated from Christ, never to actually enjoy union and fellowship with a living God. They will stand, they will come separated from Christ, and they will be separated for all eternity. My friends, there is only one way, and there is only one truth, and that is Jesus. Jesus alone. The deal is repent and believe. You live. You don't, you die. Eternally. Eternally. This is the message that our world needs to know. John said that the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. The sea will be emptied. The sea will be emptied. Death will give up, and Hades will give up the dead that were in it. The grave that claimed what was mortal, the mortal part of man, this body, the grave that claimed the mortal part of man will give up what it claimed. Why or how? At the bidding of Almighty God, Jesus himself. And Hades It is the unseen world will surrender the undying spirits and souls of the lost, the unbelieving, although their bodies have been buried for centuries. For millennia in the depths of the sea, they will come forth at the bidding of Jesus before the great white throne judgment. And when he speaks, he, Jesus, will not be denied. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me that they will give up the dead. That's how I know that. Nothing will prevent the sea, the grave, or Hades from giving up the dead. Nothing, nothing, nothing. The unseen world will give up those undying spirits and souls for of the lost. They will. The dead will be resurrected. Receive a body that will experience torment for all eternity. There is no one greater or more powerful than Yahweh himself, and there is no one that has more power and authority that will ever come close to having the power to refuse his bidding at the great white throne judgment. Death claims the physical body of the deceased, and Hades is the place where the soul, spirit and soul of the wicked lost reside in torment, awaiting the great white throne judgment. The word Hades is used 10 times in the New Testament. 10 times. It refers to the place of the departed dead, the temporary abode of the wicked, dead prior to their final judgment. And the story of Luke 16, 19 to 31 of the rich man and Lazarus really bears that out, provides our best insight, but we won't get into that this morning. It provides amazing insight to what happens to the wicked dead and what their experience is in Hades. So the rich man was able to see, hear, thirst, feel torment, plead for mercy. He was able to remember his past. And from his Jewish upbringing, he knew about God, Moses, and the prophets. And he believed in miracles. And he believed that if Lazarus witnessed to his five brothers, they would be saved from Hades, and he did not want his brothers to go there, to go to Hades. Jesus indicated that the rich man was permanently separated from God and from all righteous people in paradise. He had no communication with earth and no possibility of having his sins forgiven. Furthermore, a person who is not persuaded to believe in God during his or her lifetime will not believe the witness, even if someone rises from the dead. Wow. What a multitude of faces will appear before him in that solemn hour of tremendous judgment. Revelation 20, verse 8 and 13. No one will be great enough to escape. No one will be too insignificant. There might be people that think, you know what, I am so insignificant in God's eyes, God won't even care about me on the day of judgment. I can tell you today, every single human being is created in the image and likeness of God, and there is no one too insignificant before Almighty God. And if they haven't trusted Jesus, they're not too insignificant to come before the throne, the great white throne judgment either. And there will be no one too insignificant to be overlooked, but there will also be no one too great to be overlooked. The dead, great and small, will all be there. Then the premise for judgment. What's the premise for judgment? According to this passage, the premise for judgment is based on what is recorded in the various books. First, the books were opened. The dead were judged according to what? To what they had done as recorded in the books. Verse 12, people are always judged according to their works. The books will contain what? According to Romans 2, verse 16, the books will be recorded the secrets of men. According to Romans 2, 16, read it for yourself. And all things will be naked and open before the eyes of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. These will all be recorded under the right conditions before Almighty God at the white throne judgment. Memory will respond to every charge, and especially when Almighty God shows them what's recorded in the books. Note, no believers will be present there. I don't want us to get this wrong. There will be no believers at the great white throne judgment. This is for all unbelievers. Secondly, for the believer, any sin confessed is gone for all eternity. Any sin confessed is gone for all eternity. So we as believers don't have to be in fear of the great white throne judgment. Boy, I'll tell you, someone who doesn't know Jesus today better take a hard look at why they're still rejecting. So God keeps record of every sin ever committed by the unbeliever, and because of their refusal to come in repentance and faith, they will stand face to face before Jesus at his throne of judgment. And it says clearly, each person, verse 13, each person means that this judgment will be what? It will be inclusive. No one will be missed. And it will be individual in nature. Will any that stand before the great white throne judgment be saved? No, not one. Not one. By that time, their eternal destiny has been sealed. And then, of course, we have the second book, the book of life, was open. Now, you wonder, why, if there's no believers there, why the book of life at the great white throne judgment? There's only one reason. And I can just see people pleading, but Jesus, I did all these good works and I was a good person. I loved my wife. You know, I didn't abuse my children. And Jesus will open the book of life and say, your name is not recorded in the book of life. Let's look under the alphabetical order. Your name is not in here. Now, there's people who believe that all of mankind's names are recorded in the book of life. And then when an unbeliever dies, their name is blotted out. I don't believe that according to Scripture. I believe, according to Scripture, only believers' names are recorded in the book of life, okay? Only. And I believe the Bible bears that out very clearly. And so, because even if you take a look and it says, verse 15, anyone whose name was not found written in the book. It doesn't say that it was once written and blotted out. It says it wasn't found in there because it was never written in there. And there's other passages as well. So this book contains the names of all the people who received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and the names of the unsaved are not found in the book of life. Why not? Because they rejected Jesus during their lifetime. Therefore, their eternal destiny will be the lake of fire. Now, if you want to look at some other passage, and maybe we can just go back to Revelation 13, real quickly here, Revelation 13, verse 8. Revelation 13, verse 8. It says this, all inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life. It doesn't say they were once written there and then blotted out. It says their names were not written in the book of life. And we could go to other passages, 17, 18 as well. Chapter 17, verse 18. What does it say there? Revelation 17, verse 8, not 18. Sorry, verse 8. Let's just read verse 8. The beast which you saw once was, now is, and yet will come out of the abyss and go to its destruction. The inhabitants of the earth whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world will be astonished when they see the beast. I think it's pretty clear that the unbelievers' names have never been written in the book of life. So, how will the unsaved be judged from the books? By the way they responded, first of all, to the Word of God. How did they respond to the gospel message? How did they respond to the Word? And it's very clear. Jesus said, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. John 12, 48. They will be judged because the way they responded to the Word of God, they never received it. And if a person never even reads the Word of God, will they stand before the great white throne judgment and God will excuse them? No, Romans tells us that all people are without excuse. There is no one that will be able to come up with a valid excuse, and they will be judged according to their works. And very clear, we find even in Matthew chapter 12 that they will be, according to their own words. They will be judged according to their words. And by your own words, you will be condemned. Someone who speaks against the living God will be condemned by his own words. And then thirdly, they will be judged according to their works. And that we find in verse 13 here. They will be judged according to what is recorded, according to their works. Now, the great white throne judgment will not be the same as our court of law here on earth. It simply won't be the same. There will be no defense attorney. There will be no jury. There will be no plea bargaining. There will be no appeal. And last of all, there will be no leniency. None. Zero. There will be no leniency. You didn't trust Christ. You're condemned and damned for all eternity. Therefore, the person's destiny will be sealed even before they stand before the judge. Christ will be the judge, and he will sentence according to what the record is established, and so they will be judged according to that. And fifthly, punishment after judgment. John continued, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the second death. Hades, hell, is not the final destiny. That's where the unsaved are in torment right now that have died. They're awaiting their judgment and their final destiny. So what is meant by the second death? The first death results in the burial of this body. But those facing the second death will be spiritually resurrected at the proper time. Not only Christians are resurrected, unbelievers will be resurrected and receive a body that they will live in for all eternity, that will experience torment for all eternity. There will be a physical resurrection for them as well. It is an eternal death where the individual will be separated from God forever, cast into outer darkness, and suffer in the lake of fire. From the second death, there will be no resurrection ever. From the second death, there will be no resurrection ever. And what is so profound about the whole thing and very, very sobering, they will be separated from the living God, spend eternity in torment. Why? Because they've missed their purpose for which God created them in life. And their purpose, the purpose for every human being, is to be in union with the living God and to have a relationship and to be in fellowship with the living God for all eternity. They will have missed the very purpose for which God created them. This section closes with some profound words. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Verse 15. This truth leaves no room for universal salvation. This leaves no room for soul sleep. This leaves no room for an intermediate state of purgatory. It leaves no room for that. The Bible doesn't give room for that. It leaves no room for a second chance. And it leaves no room for annihilation of the wicked. They will experience death for all eternity. This is eternal infliction of punishment resulting in physical and mental torment and misery mentioned by Jesus in Matthew 25, 41, and 46. The wicked will be tormented without rest day and night forever, Revelation chapter 14, 10 to 12, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 bears that out as well. But I want to close with this. It is not too late. It is not too late. The time of repentance is now. Right now. Right now. God, in His mercy and grace, offers life to all who believe. To all who believe. John 5:24, what did Jesus say? Verily, verily, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. And I like what follows. And then he says, and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. And he's not talking about when we die, crossing over from death to life. He says he has crossed over from spiritual death, separation from the living God, to spiritual life in union with the living God, now possesses eternal life, and will therefore never be judged. Why? Because he trusted. He believes in him who was sent to give eternal life. There is only one way and only one truth, and that is Jesus. That is Jesus. Repent and believe. You live. You don't, you die eternally. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, this morning for your powerful word. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the entirety of your word. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that today is still the day of grace and that you're reaching out to each one, offering the gift of life. So I pray, Lord God, that if there is anyone that hears this message, whether right now or possibly later on, Lord God, I pray they don't know Jesus, that they've never trusted and come by the one way through Jesus, they would trust you so that they might never face the great white throne judgment and enjoy eternal salvation. Father, thank you for your living word. We commit our lives to you, and I pray that as we leave from here, Lord, that even what we've heard this morning might spur us on to share the gospel with those around us who don't know you, because we don't know how much time we've got. And we thank you for your goodness and your grace and for the gift of life in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great weekend.